This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Early afternoon, local time in Aleppo, Syria, a line of as many as 30 green buses, all sporting the flag of Syria with the picture of a smiling Bashar al-Assad in the middle, slowly began to make their way into the crumbled and burning city of Aleppo. Tens of thousands of civilians and opposition military are to be evacuated at the end of a bloody siege where the city has now been retaken by government forces. These people will now begin a journey to the rest of their lives.
My journey started from Turkey. We crossed the Mediterranean with a plastic boat. It was 9 meters long and 3 meters across, and we were 65 persons in it, including 20 kids. And thanks God we didn't drown. We arrived at the island and we spent 3 days there, and then we got the paper which allows us to take a ferry. Then we took a bus from Athens to the borders of Macedonia. Then we arrived to Serbia. We went by train to the Hungarian borders. It was the worst part of the journey, so we were not so welcome there. They took us to jail. They put us in detention. They took us by bus to border city between Hungary and Austria, and they put us in a train. The train was completely for refugees, and they sent us to Munich. From Munich to camp, to a camp, another camp, another camp, and that's how my life is going right now.
The refugees in Aleppo are beginning a journey that young Basil Marshall began years ago. Thousands, millions like him, all in the rivers of humanity flowing out from the Middle East to find homes, or an unwelcome limbo in the worst refugee crisis since the end of World War II. Hear the voices of hate in Hungary pushing the refugees back in a changing, more fortress Europe that says, stay away.
He was a young man with a lot of dreams on his mind, trying to put everything together, live a happy life. He knew that there is something hiding in his country, but he loved it more than his soul, tried to protect it, no matter until he saw a demonstration.
Why has the world forgotten Syria? Basil cries out. He's lucky. He made it to Bergheim, Germany. Today he's a rapper who sings about his nation and his people. Has he found a new life? Partly. He awaits word each day of his family back in Syria, Al-Raqqa, the city where ISIS claims a new Islamic State is where most of them live. A large part of this hour we devote to Basil's life now and what is in his heart as he watches his home burn.
Hopeless. I mean, the Syrian war started in 2011 and now we're almost at 2017. Over 1 million persons got killed. By many ways, it's not just with the Air Force, it's bombing, it's chemical weapons, it's slaughtering, it's burning. I don't know, and it really makes me feel so hopeless, because if something would change, it will change. But after all these years, I don't think nothing will change, because it's only getting worse. Believe me, it's only getting worse.
And for most of your life as you were growing up, what did it mean to be Syrian compared with other places in the Middle East, compared with Saudi Arabia or Palestinian or Lebanese or some of the other nations? What did it mean to be Syrian?
I've always felt so proud and happy to be Syrian. I love everybody and respect everybody, no matter where they're from. I don't care about nationalities, but you know, it's almost kind of something special to be Syrian, because Syria is known and all over Arabic countries. It's a very civilized country, and we have a lot of tourism places, and I was so happy and proud about it, and I'm still proud about being Syrian until now. But a lot of things changed. For example, I spent 1 year and 8 months in Turkey. And no one, I mean, you can say like 90% of Turkish people didn't respect Syrians. Well, only why? Because I'm Arabic and I'm Syrian. That's the only reason. You can take a look, for example, at Syrian refugees in Lebanon. You can take a look there and see how a lot of Lebanese people are treating Syrians there. You can take a look at Syrians, for example, in Saudi Arabia. They make him pay a lot of taxes. Why? I mean, we already have our own war. We just want to live in peace. We don't want any luxurious life. I mean, the value of the Syrian went very low after the war. That's my point. The value of the Syrian human being went very low after this war. Because as you can see, Paris or Charlie Hebdo or Brussels, things happened. The whole world got crazy about it. I mean, why? We're not humans. It's only because we are Syrians, it's okay that we die. And those people, no, we have to support them and we have to pray for Paris or pray. We do. For me, I was sad and I was very sad about what happened there. But I mean, we're also humans and we also deserve some support. We also deserve to change your Facebook pictures for us.
So when people change their Facebook pictures to say, I am Charlie Hebdo, or took the tricolors of the French flag, it made you feel just how left out you were as a Syrian.
Yeah, it made me feel like the world is looking at us like we are second quality human. I have this anger against anyone who could help and didn't do anything. And it's against anyone who was part of this, anyone who accepted this killing, anyone who gave the green light to Bashar al-Assad to kill those people.
How worried are you about your family?
Well, I have my sister only in Syria and my mom in Turkey. My sister is married there in Syria. She's still there in Raqqa city. But yeah, she tried to go out, but those ISIS there, they don't allow anyone to leave their cities.
How can you live under ISIS? What's that like?
Well, it's hard, you know, because they want to rule by Sharia, and all women have to cover from head to toes, and all men have to release their beards, and everybody should go to mosque and pray 5 times a day, and they don't allow anyone to watch TV, they don't allow anyone to use internet. Everything is expensive there, like there's no bombing there, you know, there's not that much danger there, but it's a hard life, you know. The way they control people and the way they control people's life, that's the hard thing.
Is there an answer to the question, why did this happen?
I don't know. A lot of people think that it's just a normal revolution against a dictator. A normal civilian revolution against a dictator. A lot of people say it's like Islamic revolution to refresh the religion. Others say, they say it's like a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy theory against the Syrian people.
What do you think?
For me, I think it's a revolution against a dictator. Because when we started, when I was going out to many demonstrations, by the way, and when we go out, I used to hold my hand with my Christian friend and my Kurdish friend, and we never thought that, okay, this guy is Christian or this guy is Kurdish or okay, I'm a Muslim, I shouldn't talk to those guys. No, we used to shout like Syrian people are one hand. That's what we shouted in our demonstrations. Syrian people are one hand. Because we know that this revolution is for all Syrians, no matter which group or religion they follow.
Do you think you'll ever live in that country, in that Syria, where Kurds and Christians and Muslims hold hands and speak in one voice?
I hope someday it will work, but I know it's going to take a lot of time. Because, you know, in my city, especially in my city, it was so mixed. We used to live together, all together in peace and love in one hand. I mean, we used to marry Christians or we used to marry other groups, marry Kurds or the Shia or Alawi or whatever. We never thought about hating each other. But this regime is causing this hate.
How does it affect your art?
Well, first of all, I used to listen to rap music since I was 10 years old. And right now I'm 24. So it's been like 14 years, and since I was 14 or 15 years old, I don't remember, I was writing my rhymes, and when I was 17 or 18, I used to do freestyles in the streets, but I never had the chance to record or do something official songs until I came here to Germany and found here a lot of brothers, real brothers, and they're my family here. They support me and they record and do the whole thing. But the war affected my rap, it make it more rebel, you know?
Who do you admire, the famous rappers that you used to listen to when you were 10?
Tupac.
What do you think Tupac would say about the situation in your country?
I think if Tupac had the chance, he will come to and fight against this regime, maybe. He will support us a lot, I know, and I'm sure about it.
What do you want people to think and to do if they are listening to your words and want to do something besides pray? What hope can you give them? I know you're hopeless, but...
Are we on air right now? I mean, there's a lot of people are hearing me.
Yep.
I want everybody who can hear me, just do anything. Like, I'm not asking just come and fight against this regime, but for people who hate Arabs or for people who hate Muslims, for example, we're also human. We're also human. I mean, we also have families. We also have feelings. We also got afraid when our houses got bombed on our heads. We also got afraid when we see our neighbors in another city getting choked to death by using chemical weapons. All what I'm asking about, and many Syrians are asking about, to all the civilians, American civilians or American politicians who have a little bit of humanity, because we didn't see anything of that humanity they're claiming they have. We just want them to take actions. Don't lose this chance. Because believe me, if the regime got control in Syria, believe me, it's going to be very bad for the whole Middle East, you can say, for Turkey. Or it's going to be bad also for Europe. It's going to be bad for many other countries. But we want from people just support us by anything, like to send helps to Aleppo, do some demonstrations in America against this regime. Do anything. Just ask Donald Trump. I know this man is useless. I know Donald Trump is useless. I know he won't do anything and he won't care about anything. I know that. And I'm not afraid to talk about it. But I'm asking from civilians, because we're also civilians and we feel each other. We know the government actions are nothing with our actions. Do demonstrations, go on in the streets, ask the politicians to do something to help Syrian people. We don't want to die. That's why we are forced to live, because we want to carry on in our lives.
Well, and you have to carry on, and that's the most important thing. Let me just ask you one thing to do after this conversation. And thanks so much for explaining and allowing me to feel so much of what's going on in your heart and in your country. I want you to get some rest.
No, I'm rested. Don't worry.
People are hearing you. People are hearing you.
Well, for everybody who's hearing me, we just want to tell them that, just like what our African brothers in America said, all lives matter, Syrian lives matter.
You matter. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Basil Marshall, 24-year-old Syrian refugee now living in Germany, will leave you with more of his song called Story of a Refugee.
We should protect them and be for them a human shield. Some rebels, they decided to face power with power, because only power can take down a 40-year-old dictator empire. They hold gun that clashed with the military, but he didn't join them because he knows it's going to be cemetery. The minority who's running the show decided to hit with a pistol.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.